Now, what I'd like you to do is turn in your Bibles, if you can, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I titled this message, How to Finish. How to Finish. And Paul, being a Roman citizen, understood the nature of the Greek and the Roman games that were played during his time period. And he uses those games as an illustration in much of what you see in his writings. And I think it would do us well to study out that aspect of Paul's life as he equates the Christian life to a race, and one that we should all desire to finish, and not just finish, but finish well. And I think that gleaning from the scriptures the important practical truths that we need to, we will be well underway to finishing this race in a way where we will leave our mark here and also will bring honor and glory to God. Now, let me say this without going too far into it. You got to get in the race first. And so if you have not been born again, then you need to really search that matter out and get right with God, because you're in a different kind of race. We call it the rat race of the world. And the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And you could be one of them. And so it is important today to get that matter settled before a holy God and cry out for mercy, and believe by faith that he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and create in you a new heart, regeneration, being born again. Now, if you're in the race, if you've been born again, if you have confirmation by way of the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God, then, my friends, you are in a race. We call it the Christian race. And our desire should be to finish this thing well. And we don't want to be a has-been. We don't want to be a washout. We don't want to be put on the shelf. We don't want to be one of those Christians that used to be. And I've met these folks over the years. I used to be a pastor. I used to be a missionary. I used to be an evangelist. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to teach choir, and the list goes on. So my question is, why? Why are you a used to be? Why aren't you involved in the race now? And get yourself pointed in the right direction if you're not, and continue on. If you fall, then get up and get something done for God while there's still time. So Paul, here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so there's several things that you'll notice about Paul and his preparedness to leave this earth and meet his God. He said in verse number 6, "I am ready." And not many folks can say they are ready. Usually, they will say something like, "I am not ready, I haven't finished, I haven't done enough, and, you know, give me another chance or another month or another 10 years or, you know, get me back in the race." Are we ready? Have we served the Lord to our fullest capacity? Have we put our whole heart, mind, and soul into the Christian life or the Christian race? And only you can answer that question. He says in verse number 7, gives us an indicator of the type of race. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So there's three things that you'll note from there. Number one, it's a good fight. Anytime that you are fighting for the right, you're fighting for the good, it's a good fight. Anytime that you are standing up against error, it's a good fight. Anytime that you're standing up against sin, that's a good fight. Anytime that you are standing up against all things that oppose God, the world, the adversary, the principalities and powers, that's a good thing. It's a good fight. It's worth getting in the ring and getting knocked around a little bit. Just remember what the Lord did for you. He said, secondly, I finished my course. And I believe this. I believe God has placed a calling in every man and woman to serve him. He's given every man, every woman, and some children, he's given them a calling, a gift, a purpose, if you will. What is your course? What has God called you to? Well, Pastor Tim, he's called me to this. Then get after it. Well, Pastor Tim, he's called me to go in the mission field. Then get in the race. Go for it. Get busy. Well, Pastor Tim, I believe that he's called me to be a pastor. Well, then get after it. Finish your course. Finish what God has ordained for you to do. And then lastly, he says, I kept the faith. At no point during this race that Paul was in did he lose heart. At no point did he stop or quit or throw up his hands in despair and say, I'm done. He kept the faith. You know, the Christian life or the Christian race is definitely going to have some hardship, definitely going to have some trials and tribulations. Not everything's going to be easy. Any one of the ministries, they all have their own difficulties. They all have their own challenges. Living out a Christian life in this godless world is its own challenge. Living a godly, Christ-honoring life in front of your lost family is challenging. Living a God-honoring life at work is challenging. Making decisions in the direction that you take your family, particularly those that honor God, that's not going to be easy. Renouncing sin for what it is, that has its own challenges. But at no point are we to give up or quit or lose heart or lose our faith. Sometimes we go through our own challenges in life. The different stages in life have their own challenges. Adversity, physical, financial, emotional, mental, all have their own challenges. And there may be times when we are at our weakest. But in spite of that, we must remain faithful. Now, Acts chapter 20 is the next place that I want you to turn. Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You're getting a little glimpse into some of the hardships that Paul faced and the results of those hardships with many tears and temptations. Verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now already coming up to this text, Paul was already facing adversity. But he says here in verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of the adversity that Paul faced, he still taught the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So already we're going through this. Paul's, he's bound. He knows he's going forward. He knows going forward, verse 23, that there are going to be more bonds. There are going to be more afflictions waiting for him. And yet, in spite of that, he's going to go anyway. Paul is teaching us by way of example how we should face adversity. And that is, don't cower in the corner. Don't quit. Don't throw up your hands. Don't be a used to be. Yeah, I know the mission field's going to be rough. Yes, I know pastoring's going to be rough. Yes, I know planting a church is going to be rough. Yes, I know trying to live out the Christian life and be a good example and a testimony to the Lord. I know that it's going to be hard. But I'm going to go forward and do it anyway, because I know God will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, leading up to that, now look at verse number 24. But none of these things move me. You see there? Paul knew about the bonds. He knew about the afflictions. He knew about the temptations. He knew about the adversity. He said, none of these things move me. Paul was determined. He was not going to be swayed to do anything other than the course that God had set for him. God help us all to be like Paul in this regard. God help us not to be moved by these things. He goes on to say, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I think the first thing that you need to do, we need to do as believers, is we need to be resolute. If we're going to finish our course, if we're going to fight a good fight, if we're going to keep the faith, if we're going to finish this thing with joy, then we need to be resolute. It requires resolution. Paul, without a doubt, was under the weight of the ministry and was not about to allow any of those things to move him away from what the Lord had called him to do. Many have quit the ministry for far less than what Paul is talking about here in these verses. Many have quit the ministry because somebody said something about them that offended them. Many have quit the ministry because the ministry didn't go the way they thought it should go. They didn't get their way. Many have quit the ministry because of the physical demands, the mental demands that sometimes go along with the ministry. Paul says none of these things. You know, to be a Christian, to serve in the ministry, to be faithful, to fight a good fight, it requires resolution. It requires the people of God to be resolute in not allowing these things to move them, to detract from the work that God has called them to do. Don't allow the world in. Don't allow your adversary in. Don't allow sin in. Don't allow your own self-pity in. None of these things move me. It requires sacrifice. You have to be resolute, and you have to understand the sacrifice. And Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. To be at this point, Paul had to be all in for the Lord. Now, when you look at Paul's words on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, takes on a whole new meaning. In other words, God may ask of you to give your life. He may ask of you to sacrifice the creature comforts. He may ask of you to go without some of the things that you depend on heavily, things that you consider joyful, joyous things. He may require you to give those things up. When you get to this point where you don't even count your own life as dear unto yourself, that's a pretty strong indicator that you're all in for the Lord. Now, he says over there in Romans chapter 12, a very a good text and one that is often quoted, and many of you probably have it memorized, and some of you don't, but I'm going to read it anyway. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a lot of things in our lives that can go. There's a lot of trivial things, meaningless things that we do and engage in that can certainly go. You know, people will talk about revival. They'll talk about the destitute condition that our country is in morally and spiritually. But they'll miss church on Sunday to make sure Junior gets to the soccer game. They'll talk about the politics and who's running what and what their position is, and they'll miss church to go to a sporting event. The effort put into spiritual things and things related to the ministry as far as the church is concerned or the commission of the church, those things are on the bottom of the list, when in reality, they should be at the very top, not the bottom. Don't talk about the moral and spiritual condition of this country if you go to church once a month. Don't talk about the moral and spiritual condition of this country if you're not engaging people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be complaining about the moral and spiritual condition of this country if you don't read your Bible. Don't complain about the moral and spiritual condition of this country if you're not willing to get behind your pastor and your church and help that work to grow. Don't do it. Lay those things aside. Go all in for the Lord. Watch what he does. Now, lastly, it requires a goal, a mark, or a prize. Paul used all of these. He talked about finishing with joy the ministry. You know, the idea here is to finish. Not quit, not stop, but to finish. And to finish how? With joy. I believe a person can finish with joy if they know that they did everything they could that the Lord had asked them to do. If they did everything that they could in a right and proper way that brings honor and glory to God. The ministry. You got to start by getting in the race. You got to be born again. You got to start the race, and you got to continue the race, and you got to finish the race. You got to remember the Lord at all times. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. While many will try to find joy in the temporal things, the child of God, as they live out their life for Christ and service to him, they find joy in Jesus Christ himself. Their rest and their peace and their hope is in him. The ministry. And let me bring this to a close by asking you this. What has God called you to? What has God called you to? What kind of ministry has he called you to? And let me say this, and I know I've said this before in this program, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it 100 more times before I'm done here. And it's this: whatever God has called you to do, if it was important enough for God to call you to it, then it's important. And it's important to him. Sometimes we pick and choose what we want to do for God. We know in our heart of hearts what it is he wants us to do. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not qualified. I'm not fit. I'm too afraid. I'm fearful. I'll make up all kinds of excuses. But if God's called you to do it, then he'll equip you to do it. He'll give you all the tools that you need to do that ministry effectively. You don't think God knows what your limitations are? You don't think God knows what your weaknesses are? Of course he does. But his grace is sufficient. See, the glory of God shines through in our weaknesses. And as we apply ourselves to the tasks that He's called us to, in spite of our weaknesses, God works through that whole thing, brings that whole thing around. And at the end of the day, it's not you or I that gets the glory. It's God Almighty. And that's the way it should be. And that, to me, brings satisfaction and joy, as Paul pointed out here. I want to finish my course with joy. Paul's joy was preaching the gospel. Paul's joy was ministering to others, seeing people get right with God. He had joy knowing that the brethren that came to Christ and got saved and were discipled and getting involved in church. I mean, think about the church of Thessalonica. They were his joy. And the thought that someday Paul was going to see these people again in heaven with the Lord, that brought him great joy and peace. And the same should be said of us. Great joy investing our time, our life, our resources into the ministry that God has called us to. And at the end of the day, finish that thing well. Having fought a good fight, finishing your course, keeping the faith, and with joy.